Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, yeah, we're here playing, baby. Halfway home on a Saturday. Coveted 1-5. Chuck Reed in the house. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Live from the Kia Studios on a hot, sweltering 90-plus degree day. Going to get even hotter tomorrow, then even hotter on Monday. Plenty of hot takes in here, even without Tommy. 404-741-0929. That's our phone line. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We are streaming. If you go to 929thegame.com. It's our new and improved website. Replays of the show are on there. All our best moments. Brian's posted some stuff up there. You can get all your breaking sports news. It's our new and improved website, 929thegame.com. Download your radio.com app. Put it on your phone or your tablet or whatever device you got, your boombox, your Blu-ray, your laser disc player, whatever you got, your Walkman. That way you can always catch us as you're on the go. You can listen to us anywhere you want to be. All of our social media, it's at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Catch all of us on the different platforms there on the station, at 929thegame. Best way to interact with this particular show would be through Twitter. That is at JMCH316, at JMCH316. We'll get to What's Bugging Chuckery at 340, 320. We'll let you hear the Trey Young interview that Andy Bunker and Randy McMichael had with him the other day. But ESPN has released the bowl schedule for the 2019-2020 bowl season. And just a couple of quick highlight things, to know before I get into kind of the opinion part of it. So on December 28th, you will get the Cotton Bowl at noon, and then you'll get the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, which will be a national playoff semifinal game. Then you'll also get the Fiesta Bowl, which will be a semifinal playoff game. So the two playoff games and the Cotton Bowl are all going to take place on December 28th. You'll get the Orange Bowl on December 30th. You'll get the January 1st Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl that night. And then it will be some other little mini, mini bowl games mixed in and stuff like that. And then January 13th will be the college football playoff. So a lot of things to chop up here. One is you're getting these college bowl games, on the 28th that are the really only meaningful games. And, I go back to the old days and call me old school and things like that. What was great about January 1st was just a plethora of not just all of the bowl games, but it gave some finality to the season. Now, while I understand the playoff adds another round to all that, which is fine, the problem is that the playoff sucks all of the air out of the room. I mean, do you realize that after the playoff, you still got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, 14. You have 15 bowl games to be played after the semifinal games before the national title game. That's way too much distraction. Yeah, I love the football. I'm with you. But you suck the life out of all of these other games once the playoff is there. Because now all the attention is, okay, who's the playoff? And we start breaking it all down. With all due respect, how much breakdown do you worry about the Rose Bowl knowing that the national semifinal games have all been played? And doesn't December 28th just not feel like a college football day? Now, I'll give you New Year's Eve. I know they didn't like New Year's Eve. Even New Year's Eve feels more like a college football day than December 28th. And none of those 15 bowl games, which include, like I said, a lot of the big games, Orange Bowl, the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, Citrus Bowl, none of those games have any meaning at that point. You know, it completely takes away from January 1st. So now the college football playoff, by putting it on the 28th, because they became deathly afraid about putting it on New Year's Eve and all the excuses and all that kind of stuff, part of it has been, with all due respect, games haven't been competitive. The national semifinal games have not been competitive. That's the biggest problem that they have. When you talk about TV viewership and all that kind of stuff, the reality is that those games haven't been that good. I think the average margin of victory, I got to go back, I've done this about 20 times, it's like 3 touchdowns. It's like 18 points or something like that. So, you know, if you got uncompetitive games, it doesn't matter what day that you put it on, the ratings won't be there in the second half. It's not going to matter what day per se it is, but those games haven't been as good. Now, luckily, the national title games, except for last year, I mean, have been pretty good. But the semifinal games haven't been. But those games, because of the tight attention and hype, suck all the air out of the room. Now, I guess the other thing, too, does it seem like it's too long in between the idea of the playoff games and then the national title game? You go December 28th to January 13th. That's way too much time, if you ask me, in between. Over 2 weeks to prep for that game and overanalyze and everything that goes along with it. Why can't they play the national title game, you know, first of the year on that first of January 1st? And then whatever a week from that Monday is, why can't they play it then? Why does it have to be, you know, 15 days or 16 days, whatever it ends up being? Why does it have to be that far out? Why can't they just play it, you know, whatever? I don't know what day January 1st is on next year, what day of the week it's on. Maybe a Tuesday? I think Tuesday, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, something like that. What's wrong with playing the game? Oh, it's on a Wednesday. Okay. What's wrong with playing the game, let's say, a week from that Monday or something? Or that following Monday? What's wrong with that? I mean, at that point, you know, it's time for the season to kind of wrap up, isn't it? We know it got the hype and all that kind of stuff, and hell, it's probably going to be Clemson and Alabama anyway, right? Sorry, Georgia fans. But I don't like that at all. So, to me, there's a lot of just problems with it. Too much time in between, sucking the air out of the room. 15 bowl games, 15 of the bowl games after the playoff game. Thought the playoff was supposed to be like, this was all supposed to be the culmination of the season. Hell, you're not even halfway done with the bowl schedule, it feels like. You got all these other games, and it is going to take away, I promise you. There's going to be so much focus and attention on these other game on the national title game that these other games just don't get the legs and the sea legs that they deserve underneath them. There may be some really good matchups that are mixed into all this kind of stuff, but that's what's going to drive the conversation. You're not going to get long breakdowns of the Orange Bowl and the Rose Bowl. You get long breakdowns of who's the two teams playing for the national title. Especially if you got somebody that's new in there besides Clemson and Alabama, right? What if it's Clemson and Georgia playing in the national title? Well, that's going to be the marquee thing that people are going to talk about. Or what if it's, I don't know, Clemson and Oklahoma? Whatever it is. What if it's those teams, somebody different than what you're used to? That sucks all the life out of it. So I don't like December 28th. I don't like the gap in between the playoffs and the final. I don't like the fact that there's 15 bowl games and you got some of these big bowl games that go after the playoff. And I know the playoff is trying to figure it out. They're trying to figure out how to get this schedule just right. To me, they overthink this whole thing greatly. They've way overthought it. Now, I don't know, you know, listen, people talk about the ratings for these bowl games. Most of these smaller bowl games are actually pretty decent, all things considered. Because when you look at regular ESPN programming versus the bowl games do pretty well. You know, that's a chance for ESPN to find a way to fill up some time. But it just does feel kind of weird. You're going to get four games, and there used to be a ton of these games. You know, obviously it used to be all the games would be played on January 1st, but now you just get the Citrus, the Outback, then you get the Rose Bowl, and then you get the All-State Sugar Bowl. So you'll have the two early games going, you know, head-to-head with one another. Then there'll be a gap in between, and then you'll get to the Rose Bowl with the Sugar Bowl going right after it. I don't know. It seems like a strange schedule, and it seems like New Year's Day has basically been kind of killed off or whatever. Why can't they play the playoff games like a day or two after the national all the rest of the bowl games on New Year's Day? Why can't they put the New Year's Day games on and then, you know, put the playoff games on after that? I don't know. Obviously the TV executives have something in mind, and obviously they're the ones that know better than anybody about when to put this stuff on, but it just seems like a convoluted type of schedule out there when you talk about what these bowl games are going to be. And we've talked about, obviously, Georgia, you know, they're going to be ranked 3 or 4 going into the preseason, so they're going to be one of those teams that's going to be looked at to be in that playoff game. I don't think that anything less than playoffs this year, to me, should be a disappointing season for the Bulldogs. I didn't think they'd be a playoff team last year. I didn't think that they were set up to be a playoff team last year. Obviously, they were close, but I didn't think they were going to be a playoff team. This year, I think they are a playoff team. This year, I think you have to put them in hot and heavy in your playoff mix. Best running back in the conference, maybe the best offensive line in the country, your upperclassman quarterback that's back. You can figure out wide receiver. They'll have a lot of good defensive personnel. This is where Kirby should get them back into the playoff hunt. And they won't be, you know, them, Oklahoma, and Ohio State are kind of in that grab bag of 3, 4, 5. You know, with Georgia probably 3, 4 when it's all said and done. It wouldn't surprise me if they're 3, but I think they'll probably get 3 or 4 at this. So, you know, look, this is what you wanted to build. This is the expectations that Georgia wants. Now deliver on it and go play on December 28th. All right, when we get back, Trey Young joined Andy Bunker and Randy McMichael on the Midday Show, and we'll let you hear that interview and what he had to say from the man who made unanimous first-team all-rookie. Up next, Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at it in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chuck Green in the house with you. Till 5 o'clock today, Randy Mack and Andy Bunker had a chance to talk with the unanimous selection of the NBA All-Rookie Team, Trey Young from the Atlanta Hawks. And the guys asked him, starting off with, what was his reaction to being a unanimous All-Rookie NBA choice?
I was just super excited. I mean, first, not only for myself, but I mean, glad I was joined with my teammate, Kevin Herter, to be a part of the rookie team. And to be unanimous is an honor. And I mean, I'm just super excited and blessed to be here because, I mean, frankly, I mean, a lot of people didn't think I'm supposed to be here. So I'm just excited.
Trey, first of all, again, congratulations to you and everything. And now this is your first offseason, and the people are telling me that you're over there working out already. Have you had a chance to go on a vacation, enjoy yourself? Because this is your first offseason. You got some money now, able to go do some things. So what have you been doing so far?
I mean, for sure. I've after the season, I took about, I mean, a week off, and just to decompress a little bit, go see my family, spend some time with them, and go see my sister out of TCU, see her first year. Just really be around them for a week, and then now, I mean, obviously I'm back to work, and I mean, for me, I don't like taking a lot of time off because, I mean, I want to continue to get better, and I want to be playing this time next year. So that's my mindset, and for me to have that type of mindset, it all starts in the summer.
Right. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Trey. I mean, we're all watching the NBA playoffs, obviously, and the Warriors are through to a fifth consecutive NBA Finals. How much more motivating is it for you now, being a member of the NBA, being a guy who's played against all of these teams and had success against all of these teams, to watch the NBA playoffs and sort of let that fuel your fire to want to be there next year?
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely motivating for me. It's kind of surreal still a little bit, just that knowing that, I mean, I can play with these guys that are in the playoffs right now. And it's definitely fuel to the fire that we're not there this year. But I want to be there next year to experience that. And I went back home in Oklahoma and went to some playoff games. I went to Oklahoma City, Portland, game three. And then I also went out to Houston to watch Golden State play Houston game three, too. So I wanted to experience those playoff atmospheres just before I got there.
As a fan this year, that's great. As a player next year, is that the expectation?
For sure. I think that's everybody in this organization's mindset and goal coming into the season. So, for sure.
Trey, we know that when you were in college, you were that guy. You were the man down there in Oklahoma and pretty much seemed like sometimes the only option. Here now you're in the NBA. What was the biggest obstacle for you to get over adjusting your game? Because you were one of the few players on this squad that almost played every game. They gave you a couple of days off for load management, but pretty much played pretty much every game.
Yeah, for sure. I think the biggest adjustment for me was just understanding, just patience. I think I wanted everything so fast, and I wanted to do so much so quick, and just being around vets and, guys like Vince Carter, guys like Justin Anderson, who, give me a lot of really good advice about, being patient. It's not all going to be great at once. You're going to go through some obstacles early on, and once you get comfortable, everything's going to break through, and that's ultimately what happened this year. I think that was just the biggest adjustment for me. And of course, I wanted to play all 82 games, and I played 81. And I heard a lot coming into the draft about my durability, and that's something that I wanted to prove to everybody.
Yeah, I think you proved that
you
one
did,
pretty clearly.
Yeah, you did.
And the one you missed was not up to you. I know we understand that. Trey Young joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Now, Trey, when we were talking about, we were teasing ahead, telling people that you were coming on, and I called you Trey TL. And my co-host, Randy, told me I can't call you that.
I didn't say you couldn't call you that, Trey. I said we can't call you that on the show.
Oh. Do you feel okay with that nickname? Do you like, is it tremendous? What do you feel most comfortable with?
Yeah, I get both. I got Trey TL a lot throughout the season. I get Ice Trey a lot.
Ice Trey,
those are the two. For sure, I get.
Well, you seem to like Ice Trey because didn't you show up to a game?
I like it though.
You showed up to a game in like some icy colored shoes and like carrying a little like briefcase or something with icies in it. Am I incorrect about that?
Yeah, that's what. I don't know if you guys heard the Migos song Ice Trey. Everybody really just related that song back to me, and everybody just calls me that throughout the city and everywhere I go here. So. That's kind of how Adidas and everybody got onto that kind of wave, and they did some creative things for me walking into the game one time.
Okay, well, Trey, last one for me, and you mentioned the name earlier in Vince Carter, and I always said how good he was as a professional, true pro for a young team like yours, and somehow he brings that leadership. From now on, Trey, it seems like you're going to be leaned on for that leadership, being the point guard, probably being the face of this franchise. Are you ready to accept that kind of responsibility? And if so, how will you go about doing it?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely know the position I'm in, and the leadership standpoint I have to. I need to bring from. Even more here on out, and I think me coming back early in the off season, me being here from when everybody else got here, I think that's something that, I wanted to do as far as being a leader as well. And just showing everybody that, I wanted to come and be around the team, build that camaraderie even more, and just be around everybody. I think that's there's little steps that I'm trying to take to be even more of a leader, too.
I hear you.
Trey Young joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Atradic, the answer that you gave to the question about first-team All-Rookie was very – a very point guard answer, because the first thing you did was talk about Kevin Huerter.
Yeah.
And that's something that we all have enjoyed about you your first year, is both as a personality but also as a player being very unselfish. Is that something that you think can help recruit other big-name players to come play here in Atlanta? You've elevated your name to a certain level in the NBA right now, but you're a guy who wants to get other people involved. Is that something that big-name free agents could potentially be attracted to?
For sure. I think if you're looking to have the ball in your hands, if you're looking to score a lot of points, I think I mean, a lot of the players in the league know. I mean, if you come play with me, I'm going to make sure I get you the ball. And I think that's something that attracts a lot of players, a lot of players in general. And I think that that's something that can carry over not only to this offseason, but even later offseason when other guys want to come play too. Mm-hmm. So I think it's pretty cool.
Trey, the the rookie of the year thing came out. I know how you viewed it. And we view it on your side, too, because we think you should be the rookie of the year. But it's coming down between you and Luka, and I think Ayton was also in there. And earlier today, me and Andrew, we were like, well, maybe they should just have co-rookies MVPs. What would you think of that?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I think it could be like that. It could go either way. I think it's a toss-up. I mean, the way Luka started out the year and the way I ended the year, I think it's pretty – I mean, it could be pretty even, pretty close. I've heard a lot of people talk about co-rookie of the year and things like that, and it's pretty cool to have, I mean, Jason Kidd and someone in our front office,
yeah.
I mean, Grant Hill,
yeah.
Who was a part of that. And I don't think it's a bad thing for us to be co-rookie of the year.
We want you to win it, though. No, we're putting our vote in it for Trae Young, though.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
Well, you strike. Look, I don't know you personally. I've listened to a lot of interviews you've given. I've watched you play a lot of basketball. You strike me as a guy who wants to win it.
Yeah, no, for sure. Of course, I would love to win it. I mean, my idols growing up, a lot of them won it. A lot of them that I look up to have won it, and that's something that, of course, is on my list that I would like to win, but. That's definitely not my main goal, but of course I'd love to win it.
Who's going to win the NBA Finals? I know the Warriors are going to be in there. I don't know who they're going to be playing yet, but who do you think takes home the championship this year?
I think I'm going to have to go with the Warriors. Yeah. I just think they're too much for either team in the East as far as talent level and the way they're playing right now. They're so hot, and with this rest that they're getting, it's going to be tough, especially if they get all their players back. It's definitely going to be tough for any team to beat them.
And that was Trae Young, as the Hawks will pick 8 and 10 in the NBA draft coming up. Next up on the show, though, it is time for What's Bugging Chuckery, although we did kind of one earlier. But, guys, whether you like it or not, Art Briles is a legend in Texas. Sorry. I'll give that to you next on What's Bugging Chuckery, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at it, the Keys Studios. Chuckery here with you. Hanging out till 5 o'clock today. 404-741-0929 is our phone line. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Best way to interact with the show, as many of you have done, follow me on Twitter at JMCH316. Going to hear from Jason Longshore. I had a chance to talk to him early in the show. We'll play that at 420 in case you missed it. As Atlanta United takes it on the chin last night, 2-1, a goal given up in stoppage time, believe it or not. That was the difference. And it looked like Atlanta United might get out of there with a point and take the tie, and they didn't play well and get out of there with the point, but not to be no points for. Speaking of no points, Chuckery, it's time for What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, obviously, one of the big stories kind of nationally in sports was the fact that former Baylor head football coach Art Briles, who was fired 3 years ago, obviously the terrible sex scandal and everything else that was going on at Baylor, has been hired to lead an East Texas high school football program. Now, Mount Vernon Independent is who hired him. School district superintendent Jason McCullough announced Friday that the Board of Trustees had approved a 2-year contract with Briles. Let's see here. Quote, "We believe we have hired an exceptional coach who comes with strong references from his previous employers. He's been forthright and honest with us, and we believe that we'll be able to use his life experiences to teach our young people how to deal with hardships, grow through adversity, and develop strong character." Now, here's what I'm going to tell you, because everybody got outraged. I understand that. I understand the outrage. And this What's Bugging Chuckery is not about how can you hire Art Briles and all that kind of stuff. What this is about is, folks, you got to understand, this guy is considered a legend in the world of high school sports in the state of Texas. Okay? And it's a whole different ball game when you talk about high school football in Texas. Right? There are some states in this country that high school football is at a different playing field. Texas is one of them. Hyper-competitive. It just is what it is. It's part of the ingrained culture of and woven fabric of what that state represents. And I understand. You can get mad. You can hate it. I understand, and I'm with you. But the idea that Art Briles was never going to not work, not happening. And this is exactly, look, will Art Briles ever coach Division I football again in college? No. We playing it again? I mean, how many times are we going to play the intro, for God's sakes, Brian? But anyway, he's not going to get, look, he's not going to the NFL. He's not getting Division I coaching jobs. Okay? But he is a high school legend. And whether we like that, whether we're in Georgia, or you're in California, or whatever, doesn't really matter. The fact is, in that state, he's considered one of the great high school coaches of all time. And to think that somebody wouldn't hire him ever again, it's what it is in this country. I don't know if it's a rehab, whatever you want to call it out there. He won 4 state titles at Stevensville in the 90s, last one in 1990 before he joined Mike Leach, at Texas Tech, then, of course, was the coach at Houston, and then took over at Baylor. Says Mount Vernon High has never appeared in a state championship game. Look, I get it, folks. I understand, and there's a lot of people on Twitter that were tweeting out some of the different things about what is happening out there, and everybody's outraged. I understand it. I get it. But if you thought he'd never coach some kind of football again, you're crazy. In that, you know, would he have coached football in the state of Georgia? Probably not. Would he have coached football in the state of Tennessee? Probably not. But in the state of Texas, somebody was going to give him a chance to do this again. And it's Mount Vernon independent whatever school that they are. And yeah, they know they're going to take a lot of heat. They know that. You'd have to be completely naive and off the rails to think that you weren't going to get some heat for this decision. Okay? Like, everybody has to know going in that, okay, this is not going to be popular, that we're going to bring this guy in, he's going to coach. But in Texas high school football, man, it's about winning. It's about the prestige. Can like that, not like that, it's a different world, folks. It ain't like football in many other states, right? There are very few states where high school football has that kind of fever pitch fandom. I'm not even sure Georgia has the same kind of fandom that Texas has with it. It's just a different ball game when you talk about high school football in that kind of state. So, yep, I get it. I'm with you. I'll have the angst. I'm shaking my head thinking, what the heck is going on? But at the same time, I can tell you, I'm not surprised one bit that some high school decided to snag Art Briles and bring him in and see what he could do. And that's what's bugging Chuckery. 404-741-0929. That's our phone lines. Also, our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. Yeah, it's a whole crazy different world. But look, Art Briles is never going to coach at major Division I college football. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he has some success at the high school level, that some Division II NAIA kind of school doesn't bring him in. And don't be surprised if it's somebody in the state of Texas, you know, especially at one of these really small universities where some guy with a lot of oil money says, hey, I want our program to be good. And like it or not, Art Briles is a pretty good football coach. He's had success everywhere he's gone. He made Baylor into a relevant program, for God's sakes. They were a top 10 program, probably should have been in the playoff. Remember that they were right on the cusp of being in the playoff that year Ohio State got in. They were right there with TCU. It was almost a coin flip, I think, for some people thinking that, okay, it's going to be one of these two Big 12 schools and they don't end up getting it. Ohio State gets in and that's the year they win the whole thing. So it's not like he didn't have that Baylor program, which let's face it, that ain't an easy place to win. Now, you got to color outside the lines, and he did a lot of that. But, you know, those oil guys with that money, those guys want to win down there, man. That's what I say. You could talk about the SMUs and the Baylors. You know, if you remember the old Southwest Conference when every school except Rice was on an NCAA sanction at one point. Anybody remember that? If you remember the old Southwest Conference, that was the greatest cheating conference in the history of sports. Nobody cheated like that. From Texas to A&M to Baylor to TCU to Texas Tech to Arkansas to Houston to SMU. They were all cheaters back then. They did what you had to do. And all those oil money guys backing it all up. All right, when we get back, I'm going to break down for you the deal that Giannis is in line for after his all-first-team NBA. And this just blew my mind. Good for him, man. God bless him. I wouldn't play another game after this five-year contract he's going to get. We'll talk about it next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. Chuck Reed hanging out with you here till 5 o'clock. So you got to love the way these NBA Supermaxes go now. And it's good to be the Greek Freak. For his second consecutive All-NBA nomination, Giannis now is eligible to sign the largest contract extension in history. Now, this would be for starting in 2021 and 2022, okay? And by the way, Milwaukee is going to pay him this. Like, they're not going to turn him down or push him away or run him out of Milwaukee. He gets 5 years at $247.3 million. Listen to this five-year breakdown. Are you ready? $42.6 million the first year, $46 million the second year, $49.5 million the third year, $52.9 million in the fourth year, and $56.3 million in the fifth year. God bless Giannis. I ain't mad at all about soaking up them dollars, man. That is awesome. And Milwaukee is going to have to pay him every single dollar of it. Go get you some. Now, here's what I said, though, the other day when I saw this. Let me tell you, and I guess I'm a different breed, I ain't playing after that five-year contract's over. Not a chance that you're going to get me to play. Why even just go once you've put $250 million, you've put a quarter billion besides what you've already made in the bank. Why, and I understand tax, I'm just saying, why play again after 5 years? Why? I don't care if he's won, not won, or whatever like that. At that point, you're just like, you know what? I got my health. I got my sanity. I got my money. Go live the life, man. $56.3 million in his final year. These supermaxes, you know, and Kemba Walker was a guy who qualified. I saw his breakdown. Jeez. He's like up for 226. Damian Lillard is like up for 4 for 191. God bless the NBA, man. That's some serious cash that some of these cats are going to earn, man. Can't be mad at him for it. All right, Ricardo Allen said that if healthy, the Falcons are a top 10 defense. Are they? We'll break that down next. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studio, Sports Radio 929 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.